I do have some word that I want to share. I wondered why the Lord would give this particularly. But I see it tonight as I was watching these women share. And I see something, I just see something beautiful in these women. I don't know about you. I've always been kind of partial to women. Yeah, preachers are like that too. You know. They don't grow up in a sterile environment. And I've always been especially partial to the beautiful ones. But I don't know any more beautiful women than those that are filled with God's Spirit. Do you? I mean that. I mean that with all my heart. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what shape they're in. You can see the glory of God on them. Bless God, it's good. I'm not embarrassed about that. It's good. It's good. God's women are beautiful. God's daughters are beautiful. I've had occasion in the last several weeks to say a word to some men and some women, and I'll just repeat it here, that whether you're married or not, this is good counsel for you. God has some wonderful, beautiful daughters. But he's not passing them out to donkeys, friends. He's reserved his best daughters for his best sons. And I mean for you girls the same thing. God's got some wonderful sons. But he's not passing them out, see, to any but his very best daughters. If you're not married, the way to get one of God's best daughters and one of God's best sons is to be his best son, you see, or his best daughter, and then he'll see that you get one of the best. That's right. You don't think that God's going to unload you on one of his precious daughters if you don't love him with all your heart. And if you're not interested in serving him and loving him, these young girls that love God with all their heart and are filled with his Spirit, you know what they're praying for? They're praying for husbands that are just like them. And God's not going to saddle them or shackle them to someone that doesn't feel the same way. And it's vice versa. And if you're already married, and you're praying, oh God, make my husband really a special man for you. Oh God, make my wife something special. The way to get that done is you become something special for God. And then God will give you, you see, one of his best daughters. He'll cause the daughter that you married to become one of his best daughters. He'll cause the son that you married to become one of his best sons so that he got you perfectly yoked. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? It's important to serve God. Now, with that said, God has some beautiful daughters. They're lovely. They're just altogether lovely. And it doesn't matter whether they're 3 years old or whether they're 83 years old. They're lovely from the inside out. And something that's always concerned me about church people, especially fundamental church people, is that many over the years have tried to take the beautiful daughters of God and saddle them with tradition and with doctrine and make them ugly and make them weird and make them unusual, make them unattractive, and dim the glory of God that he's trying to shine through them. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, this word, in the sixth verse. Never forget this. God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Don't ever forget that. Where the Holy Spirit is, there will be life. And in the 17th verse, he said this, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where God's Holy Spirit is at work, there will be liberty, not bondage. The Holy Spirit of God will not bring His sons and daughters into bondage, but rather He will set them at liberty. Liberty, 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 liberty. More and more freedom. I want to share with you something out of the book of 1 Peter. With that laid as some groundwork, just I guess by way of a teaching, I don't know if this may be for one or two or three or four of us tonight. It may be for more than that. But I want to address myself tonight to some of the doctrines of men that bring good Christian people into bondage rather than into liberty. There are those who would have you ladies, I'm talking specifically now to you ladies, who would have you ladies believe that if you're going to be truly spiritual, you must not wear any makeup, you must not wear any jewelry, you must let your hair grow long, straight, and stringy, and you must never wear slacks. If you do, you're not at all spiritual. If you're not already having one foot in hell, you at least have it on the banana peel. And God could never bless what you're doing in that condition. Now, some of you know good Christian sisters that are just like that. I mean, they love God like you do, and they love God like I do. They're filled with God's Holy Spirit, but they're walking in bondage. It's just like a chain wrapped around them. God didn't call you to be weird. He did call you to be peculiar, but He didn't call you to be weird. And there's a difference. I know that some, and I guess maybe this is why this is to be shared, I know that there would be some who would come into this service, for example, or come into one of our services and see our women and think, well, there's something sure not kosher about this place. Just like I thought. Tongues and jewelry. What a combination. Now, you know people like that, some of you, don't you? Now, and there are those, you see, they love you. They're concerned about you. They care about you, or they wouldn't share these things. But they are deadly wrong. They are sincerely wrong. They're quite sincere, but they're wrong. Now I want to show you something about out of God's Word concerning a couple of these aspects as far as the Lord will let us go tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning to read at the first verse. Now let me say just a word about a little something different before we look at that. I heard you girls talking about liberated women. I want you to know that thrills me. I want you to know that thrills me. To know that you're liberated in Jesus Christ. Do you know it's the world's liberation that tends to bondage and brings the women of this world into bondage? Because it's bringing women, you see, into a place that God didn't make them to be in the first place. And they're struggling to try to do something that God never intended for them to do. And they're frustrated because of it. Jesus is the one who liberates. I'll tell you, He liberated me. I don't do any sin anymore. He liberated me from it. See? I don't want to do those old things like I used to. And some would say, well, you can't do the things you used to do. You're not liberated. You're in bondage. Bless God, I'm liberated, you see. I'm free. I don't wake up in the next morning babbling to myself and popping aspirins. It doesn't happen anymore. Bless God. 1 Peter chapter 3. So you, and I guess the reason that God wants us to share some of these things is we do live in the world. We're not of it, but we live in it. And there are pressures, you see, that come against the children of God. The world tries to come in and tries to get us to take on the same paint job that they have. And unless we have our believing grounded in the Word of God, sometimes the devil gets in there, you see, and you begin to wonder, well, maybe there is something to this. See? 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear or reverence of God. That's what that means. Now those verses, that's the promise of God to you wives whose husbands are not saved, that you don't have to preach to them. This word conversation means your manner of life, your lifestyle. And the apostle is saying that if your husband is not saved, you don't have to beat him over the head with God's word, that you live the life of Jesus Christ in front of him, and he'll be won without the word while they behold your holy manner of life and your fear of God. That's God's promise to you. Verse number 3, and this is what I wanted you to look at. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, and of wearing of gold, and of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Now some of our dear brothers and sisters, in all sincerity, have taken that passage of Scripture and also another similar one over in Paul's letter to Timothy and have said that it is sinful for women of God to braid their hair or adorn it in any way or to wear fancy clothes, bright clothing, or to wear any kind of jewelry. Now I want you to see that God's Word doesn't say that. I want you to see that He does not say, do not let your women wear jewelry or fancy clothing or braid their hair in a fancy way. He said, let their adorning not be that. He said, let them be adorned with a meek and quiet spirit, the hidden man of the heart, the one that is not corruptible. Let that be that real inner beauty that shows out. In other words, if a woman, all she has going for her is fancy clothes, beautiful hair, and fancy jewelry, but on the inside she's a sepulcher full of rottenness and dead men's bones, she is not a beautiful woman. God says, let your women be adorned with a meek and quiet spirit. He didn't say, don't wear jewelry. It doesn't say that there, does it? Now, if it did, God would be a variable God. He would be a God that changes because it wasn't always that way. And let me show you something. Turn back, please, to the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter, and the 22nd verse, concerning the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, I'm going to show you several scriptures here. And if you have your pencil, you just make note of them because this is not a subject that we're going to preach on regularly. You see? We're going to share it this one time, and I believe that'll be sufficient. Exodus chapter 3, verse number 22. This is God speaking through Moses. Verse, let's read 21 so we see the context. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when ye go, ye shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor. Now this word borrow, it literally means demand. It does not mean borrow to be repaid. It's more a demand. And every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and of her that sojourneth in her house jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, and ye shall put them upon your sons and, whoopsie daisy, upon your daughters. Now, wouldn't it be a dumb God to tell Moses to take all of this jewelry and put them on their daughters and then tell Peter that you shouldn't put them on your women. Now that would be a God to change his mind, wouldn't it? That would be a God in whom is variableness. There's no variableness in our God. He's, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Now if you will please turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 24. Did not Paul say, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses shall a thing be established? So we want to be careful that we don't establish a doctrine on the basis of a single verse. We look at some other scriptures. Now, the 24th chapter of the book of Genesis has to do with Abraham's sending his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And you know, the servant went back into the land where Abraham had come from to find a wife among Abraham's people. And he found the maiden Rebekah. Verse number 53. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave it also to her brother and to her mother, precious things. The servant of the maid Abraham brought precious jewelry and beautiful clothing and gave it to Isaac's intended. Now, if you'll look, please, with me to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. This is God speaking here concerning his love for Jerusalem, or his love for his inheritance. And God is describing here how deep his love is. Verse number 11. I decked, this is God speaking now, I decked thee also with ornaments. And I put bracelets upon thy hands and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead and earrings in thine ears and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thus wast thou decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. Now, does that tell you something about the desire of God for his children? He says, I want to lavish everything that is beautiful upon my children, and I will do it. Now, let's go back to 1 Peter. And I want you to see something. He said in verse 4, let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. It's interesting to me that God would say something specifically about the wives of the Old Testament saints. And then we have the example in the book of Genesis that we just read about one of those women, Rebekah. God does not intend for his kids to be in bondage to man's doctrine, but to be free and to be at liberty. Over in the book of Deuteronomy, let me show you something. Deuteronomy 22. Now, let me say this while you're turning to that. That I don't mean in sharing these scriptures to put anybody down because of what they believe. But I believe that what Jesus said about the truth making you free is very important for us. And I believe that God would have us to be a people that is not of the world, but attractive to the world. Do you know why so many of these churches that believe the kinds of things that I'm just sharing are not growing? Because it's not attractive to anybody. Nobody wants that. I'll tell you, no man wants his wife to look like a strange woman. I mean, that's true, isn't it? How many of you guys want your wives to look drab and dreary? You want them to look as beautiful as possible. Is that not right? I do. Now, I don't want my wife looking like a painted lady, but I want her to be attractive and to be beautiful. God's made her beautiful to me. And I believe the rest of you husbands want the same for your wives. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 5. Now this verse right here is a verse on which an entire doctrine is based. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. Now this is God's word through the prophet Moses. The woman is not to wear man's clothing. A man is not to wear woman's clothing. It does not say here, however, that a woman is not to wear slacks, does it? Does it say that? I'll tell you, I wouldn't be caught live or dead in the slacks you women are wearing tonight. They're not men's clothes. They are women's slacks. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? They are women's clothes. Just because their pants don't make them man's clothes. Can you imagine what people would have thought about Jesus if he wore a three-piece suit? They would have thought he was a weirdo. But suppose that I were to walk in this door in a tunic. Do you begin to get the point? Jesus wore the dress of his day. He wore a tunic. He wore a robe. He wore sandals, you see. That was the garb of his day. He didn't wear a three-piece suit. But yet there are those today that would say that if you wore a robe, you see, you'd look like a woman. And you'd be in violation of this, and you're an abomination unto God and need forgiveness. I want you to know that the clothes do not determine what you're like on the inside. And I'm going to tell you what this verse of Scripture is all about. This verse of Scripture is about a woman trying to be a man. And about a man trying to be a woman. And there are many of those today, are there not? Just look at Ann Landers' column from time to time and you'll find out what kind of strange wackos are running around loose in this world. Guys that dress up in ladies' clothes in the privacy of their own bedrooms, and women that do the reverse. And he's talking here about women trying to fill a man's role and men trying to fill a woman's role. God did not call us to bondage, but rather to liberty. The Lord set us free, you see, from those kinds of twisted doctrines. Now, what do I think about women wearing pants or slacks or trousers? The Bible didn't say anything about that. It didn't say a word about that. It doesn't say anything about it. Now, I have a preference in certain occasions, and I'll just share that. Because in Romans, the 13th or 14th chapter, Paul said, I wouldn't do anything that would cause my brother to stumble. And he said, I'm concerned about what other people think, and so I'm cautious about that and aware of that. You'll notice the way I come, when I come dressed for service on Sunday, I wear a three-piece suit. Do you ever notice how, this will be interesting to you, I think. Do you notice how people come, when they've come first to our service, do you know how they come first time? They come in a three-piece suit, the men, and the ladies all come in a nice dress. The second time they come, the man will have taken off his coat, his tie. The ladies will have gone maybe to a blouse and a skirt. The third time they come, the fella he's dropped his slacks and he's replaced his slacks with jeans, and he has on a sport shirt. And the fourth time he comes, he's wearing a pair of old tattered jeans with a t-shirt with some stupid saying on it. Because sometimes we don't set the very best example. even right here in our own fellowship. And we ought to be concerned about those that are coming for the first time and what they may think. You see, I would never do anything that would cause my brother to stumble. If we have a Sunday night service and one person comes to Jesus at this altar, I'd wear anything for that, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd do anything to see that one person, you see, would come to Jesus that night. I wouldn't do anything that would cause him to stumble. Now, I want you to know it's very hot up here on this platform. And when I go home after a service, I take my suit and I hang it up for 3 days and let it dry. And then I take it to the cleaners. And on my closet door, for the first 3 days of the week, there's two suits hanging inside out, drying out, so that I can take them to the cleaners. But I wear it not because it's comfortable, but because I don't want to do anything, you see, that would cause anybody to stumble or would hinder anybody. Okay? And I think that's important. But I don't believe that God would call anybody into a bondage that we need to dress a certain way, you see, all the time. And so you ladies, if you want to wear your slacks, you wear your slacks and wear them in the liberty that Jesus has given you. Paul said, let's not use our liberty as a license, you see, to sin. We must be careful about that. But let's not be bound up by what other religious people think we ought to do. Now let me take you another passage of Scripture. In 1 Corinthians, you know, I have talked with some folks who have really had some bad times with this whole business, this whole matter, and have come out of churches in which, well, let me give you an example. I had a lady to share with me. I don't know whether she's here tonight or not. I'm not even sure I remember who this lady was. But she shared with me that she had come out of a full gospel church. And in that church, one of the sisters one evening had brought forth a word of prophecy or an interpretation of a tongue or had operated in one of the gifts. After the service, two of her sisters came over and spoke to her gently as they could, telling her that they could not receive what she said because of the necklace that she was wearing that night. That almost destroyed this poor sister. She was further told that demons lived in necklaces and bracelets, that demons resided in jewelry, and if you put those things on, that you were under the influence. Now, a person who's mature in God knows enough to throw that kind of junk off, you see, and just reject it. But a brand new sister in Christ doesn't know. There are many of God's people that are walking around under condemnation because of that. Why are our services so free? Why is there so much liberty here? Because God set us free to be ourselves. God has set us free to be sons and daughters of the Most High God. Why do we come together and rejoice? I don't know why you do it, but I do it because I'm happy. I'm so happy that I just want to turn everything loose and let God know how excited and how happy I am. Now there's also I guess while we're doing this, we might as well get it all right? There is a doctrine going around in some churches that if a woman cuts her hair, that there's something very sinful about her, that she needs to be resaved, she at least needs to be forgiven, and she certainly needs to be prayed for because she's in great distress. And that doctrine comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I want to read the passage of Scripture with you. And I'm not going to say a great deal about it, just one or two words. I think you can see it as we're sharing it. I want you to know that those of you women who are here that have short hair, there aren't any of you that look like a man. Not a single one of you that have short hair look like a man. I wouldn't wear my hair like that. See? Even if I had some to wear. You understand the point I'm trying to make. You're wearing ladies' hairstyle, so it's short. But I can pick you out as a lady. I mean, I pick you out just like that. I'm not a bit confused about which one of you are ladies and which one of you are men. And I want you to know that God's Word does not say anywhere that your spirituality rests in the length of your hair. That does not determine your spirituality. And if you've cut your hair off, it's not like Samson losing his power. You didn't lose your anointing, you see, because you cut your hair. That's stupid. Chapter 11, verse 1. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, before we read any more, I want to be sure that you see something here as we read, and I think it'll cause this scripture to be opened up for you. This scripture is not about the length of ladies' hair. This chapter is not about how women are to wear their hair. Contrary to what anybody may believe, this chapter is about authority. The subject of this chapter is what is the pecking order in the kingdom of God, if you'll forgive me for the vernacular. What is the authoritative relationship in God's kingdom? It's not about hair length at all. And once you understand that, when you see the rest of it, you'll see that Paul is using an example here. "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. But if a woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power," or a covering, authority, "on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." He said, because of this relationship, because man is the glory of God, because he is God's under-ruler in the earth, because he is the one that was first made, he says, when you cover your head to go into a church and pray, he said, you dishonor your relationship with God and the position that you have, that God has established you in. On the other hand, as a woman, that was customary in that day. Those of you who have seen Oriental movies, or if you've seen the Thief of Baghdad, anything that has Baghdad in the name would be one of these kind of movies. And when you see those kind of movies, how do the women walk around on the street? Covered and with a veil. Now, the reason they do that is it's customary in that land to show themselves as women. You see, to show themselves as women in a submissive role to their man, they wear a covering on themselves. He says it's wrong for a man to do that because he is, again, it's reversing positions with the woman. And for the woman to take her covering off is to dishonor her man because she is showing that she's putting herself in her man's place. But then he talks about how the man was made, or the woman was made for the man and that sort of thing. But now, so that the men don't get all bent out of shape, he said in verse 11, neither is the man without the woman. In other words, you men don't get it all figured out that you can make it on your own, because he says that the man is of the woman, that the man comes from the woman in childbirth. Now in verse 13, he says, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. All right, now those verses right there have been interpreted to mean that a woman must have long hair and must never have it cut. Now what is Paul really saying here? He's saying, listen to me, can't you see just naturally you can tell that if a man wears very long hair so that it looks like a woman's hair, then it's just not normal. Guys don't usually do like that. He says nature will teach you that. He said that a man, the way he works and the way he operates, even if you'll notice, if a man lets his hair grow real long, it never does look like a woman's hair anyway, does it? no matter how long it grows. It doesn't look like a woman's hair. You could pick out the head any day. Just look at it from the side or from the... You can tell it's a man's head or a girl's head. But he said a woman with hair, long hair, it's her glory. It's beautiful to her. That hair, he says, God has given to the woman hair which is different from a man's to show that difference in relationship of authority. The hair of the woman is given to her as a covering. It's a natural kind of covering. It demonstrates naturally that she's different from a man. She's not a man. It does not say that it's a sin for a woman to cut her hair. And if your hair is 3 inches longer than your sister's or 3 inches shorter, it does not make you more or less spiritual. I know some women with hair that reaches down close to their feet who aren't saved. Who aren't saved. It's not spiritual to have long hair. And I know some women with hair close cropped that are full of the love of God and the power of God flowing in their lives. You see, it's not what you wear, and it's not how you wear your hair, and it's not the jewelry that you have on that'll determine whether you're spiritual or whether you're in God's good grace or not. But Peter said, let the adorning of a woman be the hidden man of the heart. Let her be beautiful on the inside, because that beauty will shine through and you'll be able to see it from the outside. That's the light you see in these women as they come up here and share. That's the light from the inside shining out. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, you remember this, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. Not to do wrong, but to be everything that God has called you to be. Now in the world, you see, when you go from age 30 to age 40, you women are supposed to get worse looking. But I want you to know, if you go from age 30 to 40 and find Christ in the middle of that somewhere,